This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Better than ever. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. If you would like to join in the conversation tonight, it is Free Talk Live. In the studio, it's
Nikki
and Richie Rich.
And I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. It is Sunday. It's a good day for a reverend to be hosting the show.
God bless.
Praise Jesus.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, of course you're a reverend.
Yeah, right? Sunday sermon.
And I'm like, what does that mean? You know? Like, what do you mean, of course
you're like,
a reverend?
Is it because I'm also like, a doctor?
It was an attractive girl. I'm like, what, you were going to bang me until you found out I was a reverend? Is that, you know, is that what you're trying to tell me? I'm not sure.
Because I don't look like a little boy to you.
So it was weird. I'm not that kind of reverend.
Oh.
This is the extent of my reverendship. You all listeners are, for lack of a better description, my congregation. And I guess that makes you guys what? Clergy? Bishops? What are you?
What religion
Deacons?
Is this?
Well, I'm technically a reverend of the Church of Spiritual Humanism.
Okay.
The deity for this particular church is reason and logic.
Got it.
Those cool. are our deities. So
I'm already the vanguardian of my own cult. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you could potentially still be like a deacon of the Church of Spiritual Humanism. I think
maybe
whatever that means.
That's the thing. I don't want to be. Right. Like I considered it at one point. I'm like, you know, it'd be cool. It'd be like to be an ordained minister.
Yeah.
And then I started looking into it, like, you know, the church is a subgenius and whatever. And I went, you know what would be even cooler? To start one of these things and just be the boss of that.
Right.
No. And so I did. Just not official.
I've been asked
without the government
repeatedly to officiate people's weddings, and I turned them down. All the time. Because, well, first of all, not a one of them were going to have a state-free wedding.
Oh.
So, that's my main thing, right? Like, I don't care if you want to pledge your, you know, life to another person or your community or whatever, you know, whatever you think marriage looks like to you. What I disagree with, of course, is involving the state in your personal relationships.
Yeah.
Like, why? What is the point of this? Why would you even do that? Like,
and that's what I tried to explain to a lot of my family members, because they're like, oh, well, you're not really getting married then. I'm like, what does the government have to do with my relationship?
Right.
And at one point, someone asked me, like, you know, Rich, are you ever going to get married? And I went, no. And I laughed. I said, why not? And I went, because it's either a state thing or a government thing, and I'm an atheist and an anarchist, and I don't really need that in my life. And then I went and had a state-free wedding. But the divorce was so much easier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just left.
Yeah, you're like, oh, we're
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Congratulations. Before we go on, I want to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. I've been using Dash even before they were promoting us this most recent time. They were a sponsor of ours, Free Talk Live, some time ago, and they came back on board recently. But I've been using not only Dash, but their app, Dash Direct, for quite some time. It's great. You can do, the way I use it, I basically do on-demand gift cards. And so normally if you have a gift card, you're left with something at the end. You're like, oh, there's 5 cents or there's like $5 that you can't really spend with the gift card. Well, using the Dash Direct app, you can just create a gift card at the moment for the exact price of whatever it is you're purchasing. And so you're not left with losing out on, you know, whatever, you know, the last couple of bucks or last percentage of your gift card. So it's pretty sweet for that. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Their transactions are instant, irreversible, and protected from 51% attacks by its Chainlocks technology. Dash is the world's first DAO, decentralized autonomous organization, and Dash Direct allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. And thank you to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org.
Gift cards is how you end up with 7 packs of gum and a tin of mints at the checkout.
Right. Yeah.
Just how much more do I need? Right. So I don't have anything left on this thing.
Yes. And so, of course, the Dash Direct app eliminates that type of a thing. We had been talking about Killdozer, not the movie, the man, Marvin Heemeyer, and his, what do we want to call it, a custom tank that he made out of a bulldozer?
Let's call it the Killdozer.
The Killdozer. And then, of course, we just started talking about non-state marriage. To finish my thoughts on that, so Captain Kickass is an ordained minister. However, Captain Kickass is not my legal name. I've never changed it. I've never filed paperwork. And so my concern is that, of course, if I were to agree to officiate someone's state-sponsored wedding, that it would be legally invalid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it might, yeah. Yeah. Probably.
I mean, if you wanted to, right, you would then just check with the state, right? I operate a business known as Captain Kickass.
I mean, sure, there's things that I could do about it, but I don't really want to because, like, you know what the fun part of weddings is? The reception.
Understood.
Yeah, I was about to say, would you enjoy?
I do not enjoy officiating weddings.
Don't
especially,
bother.
You know, with over half of marriages ending in divorce, it's like, I don't want to preside over that.
Nope.
You know?
Liability.
Yeah. You know?
I had an ex-coworker who was also ordained, and he wanted to, I prodded him to do this. So I think he registered a domain at one point and then did nothing with it. But it was like the one-minute wedding.
Ooh.
Now, that's a great awesome. Idea.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, if you're presiding over it, like, you know, you got the two of you, you got the witness. Do you? Yep. Do you? Yep. Boom. And then you sign the paperwork.
Yeah.
You dig him? Yep. You dig her? Yep. You're married.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. Bada bing, bada boom.
You reduce it to, like, you know, 30 seconds or something.
We need not go through all the pomp and circumstance here.
And with Zoom now, man, you can just have witnesses wherever.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They can just remote in from wherever on their laptop or their phone or whatever.
This ain't no two-hour-long Catholic wedding. Get up. Sit back down. Stand up.
And also,
sit
like,
down.
I don't understand why... people wouldn't try to have their marriages at, like, a more convenient time. What I mean by that is...
5 p.m.?
No. Lots of folks want to do the tradition of the June wedding, right? You know?
Yeah.
And they want
the weather's nice.
And they want to have, like, the outdoor ceremony with the big trellis and, you know, the white lawn chairs and, you know, the pipe organ with the music and, you know, all the traditional stuff. But then they go to great lengths to invite all of their family on both sides of the marriage, right? So, you know, his family, her family, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, there are other times during the year when all of those people gather together. So why not have your wedding then? I'm thinking Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know,
well, that's why I had my wedding during Corkfest, because I'm like, oh, cool. All my friends are already going to be here. Come up a day early.
And I love that idea. Huh.
My family had to travel like 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 hours to get there, but...
Your blood family, they did.
Yes. But my New Hampshire family's already here, and most of them are already going to be at Parkfest, so...
They're like, oh, sweet, I don't have to go anywhere different.
Yeah.
I can just be there. Yeah.
And it's funny,
one of... I an excuse to not go, because I'm already there.
Two of my friends that live at Rogers for the summer
were
like, we really, really appreciate you doing your wedding right here. We don't even have to leave, like, where we live. Like, they're like, this is zero. We didn't have to pay any travel costs, any extra stuff. We're just rolling out of bed and showing up to your wedding. This is great.
I was going to come just for the reception, but now since the wedding is right there, I guess I have to sit through that nonsense now, too. Thank you, Nikki.
Are you actually coming?
No, not at all.
Yeah. All right.
I'm driving 3 hours to watch Nikki get married.
What about the party?
I'm an introvert. I don't really know.
Part of that. Well, and
he doesn't like disco.
He doesn't smoke. What do you do? Wait, that's an Adam Ant song, isn't it? Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
Yeah, I play video games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You could probably do that while they're getting married.
Yeah, I could.
You probably will be, actually.
Yeah, but I don't have to drive 3 hours to do that. Yeah. I'm going to drive 3 hours to sit and play the game I could play back home on my couch with the AC on.
Yes.
See?
All right. Let's move on to our number two story for today.
Number two story.
Finally.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Sorry it took so long. But we're finally here.
Paid respects to Marvin Heemeyer.
Yeah, it's Killdozer Day, so, you know, I think it's important. This from thegatewaypundit.com. This story has been brushed upon. That's not a pun. It has been mentioned on Free Talk Live, but let's get the update. The headline reads, Ireland plans to slaughter 200,000 farting cows to save planet from global warming.
Thank you, Ireland.
Yeah, make it make
now,
sense.
Now I don't have to change my lifestyle.
Apparently, flatulent heifers, Holstein cattle, if you will, are what? Causing global warming?
It's a lot of methane.
I'm not sure how that's, you know, but yet, like, the military, I mean, the military is the number one polluter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Period.
Also, why don't we just plant some more trees or something? Like,
that seems to make the most sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's stop with the urbanization of everything.
Let's not get too carried away.
I mean, that's better than slaughtering a bunch of cows.
I mean, sometimes getting carried away is good radio.
I like to get carried away.
Yeah, but that's only because you're married and you're expecting to get carried over the threshold.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Probably not.
That's got a bad back.
Yeah, but, I mean, they make dollies and stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Babe, we got to invest in this exoskeleton.
They do make those.
I know.
Just get a forklift.
Yeah.
Not that you warrant a forklift or anything.
Oh, wow.
Nikki's weight.
Guess I better watch my weight. Yeah. Dang.
Watch it go up. Carried over the threshold.
I mean, you could just get, like, a bulldozer, for example, yes, with the big scoop, and it could carry you away. While you were sleeping, this is the article now, while you were sleeping, the globalist fanatics went after your food supplies.
Again.
Yeah, continuously. The globalist movement is targeting food production in the West, and of course, the crooked officials are glad to assist. Government officials in the Netherlands, a major European food producer, shut down 3,000 productive farms to comply with global warming goals in November. In December, Germany ordered farmers to slash fertilizer after the Dutch farms were shut down to comply with global warming standards.
Did you cover? I want to break in real quick. I don't know if it was covered here or if I just saw the headline for it. Recently, like some CEO of a carbon offset company had to resign because they were giving out fake offsets. Like they were fudging the numbers. Have you seen this?
I've breezed across the headline.
Okay.
And I haven't been able to delve into it.
Okay. Don't worry about it then.
Okay.
The headline's good. But just, you know, they're doing all this stuff for global warming.
Yeah.
Right? And it was basically like, just give us money and we'll make something up. And,
yeah.
And then they made something up. And went, well, you can't make it up.
It's all made up. The whole thing's made up.
I know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just
but he resigned over it.
It's just laughable that they're targeting farms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that just doesn't seem to me to be the cause of global warming.
No, it's
if
not.
Anything, you'd think farmland and pastures, plants, like, that would be better for the environment.
Totally. Absolutely it is. Or at least...
I mean, you can't pin this on cows.
Like, if you live in a big city, especially a big city with, like, a large industrial district where there's a lot of manufacturing, that kind of stuff going on, and then you move to somewhere like, rural New Hampshire, for example, where it's all trees and mountains
and
farmland, and you're like, oh, wow, it's so much fresher here than it is there, you know, so...
This is what air smells like.
Yeah. So this week, Irish lawmakers are pushing a plan to kill off 200,000 cows to reach their global warming goals. Farm World reported this. The Irish government is considering an initiative to significantly reduce the number of dairy cows in order to reach its climate change targets. A target of reducing emissions from farming in Ireland by a quarter by 2030 has been set by government.
Dun, dun, dun.
One proposal to achieve this is by reducing the national dairy herd by 10%, the equivalent of removing 65,000 cows a year for 3 years, according to the Irish Independent.
Removing.
removing. Yeah, like where are you moving them to again? You've moved them once, and you're removing them again. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnellog. It's a weird name.
It's an Irish name.
Yeah. I was worried I was pronouncing it wrong. Anyway, Charlie told Irish radio station RTE Morning that a dairy vision group, with farmer representatives has been looking into a range of options to reduce emissions on farms. The Irish Department of Agriculture responded to the reports via the Irish Mirror. The Department of Agriculture said a report outlining a $200,000 reduction in dairy cows was a modeling document.
Oh.
It was reported yesterday the cows would have to be culled at a cost of 600,000 pounds to taxpayers over the next 3 years to meet climate emission targets.
So cut their food supply and charge them for it and tell them for its own, their own good.
And charge them for the privilege, right?
Right. Yeah,
if you want to call it a privilege.
Sure.
The Farming Independent said it got the figures in its report from an internal document through a Freedom of Information request. So, yeah, here's government going after something that obviously has zero impact on, well, anything really of any substance to the planet.
Yeah. And again, I'm going with Nikki's idea on this, right? If you want to offset it, right, like plant more trees.
Yeah.
Because trees eat carbon dioxide.
Right.
And they spit out oxygen.
Yes. And so, which we breathe.
Which we breathe.
Yes.
Right.
We must intake oxygen.
Yeah. Right. So if you want to offset that, the answer is clear. More trees in more places.
Yeah. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Let's go to, I believe this is Tim in Florida. Tim, you are on the air on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. What you're talking about is absolutely disgusting. It's just evil villain level.
Are you talking about the cows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically destroying food supply. I mean, that's like, who's that guy on Austin Powers, you know?
Dr. Evil, yeah.
$1 million.
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, it's crazy. I actually called in about something else, though.
Sure, go ahead.
If I can change the subject.
Please.
So I was thinking to myself today, in the absence of... I suppose it's the FCC. Who determines the radio frequencies? You know, basically who gets which radio frequencies?
It is the FCC, ultimately.
Well, no, is it absence of the FCC?
Oh, in absence of the FCC. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Why don't you get your broadcast out? Don't step on your neighbor's broadcast.
Yeah, it's so weird how the government thinks they own the air. Like, it is possible if it were just a free-for-all that... You know, I could put up a tower and be broadcasting in a, you know, 20-mile radius from wherever the tower is or something like that. And somebody else could put up a tower and broadcast on the same exact frequency, and you might get some, like, some crosstalk is what it's called. Yeah. When these signals impede upon each other on, like, regular radio. But, like, it's bad broadcasting etiquette to do so.
Yeah.
And so, like, if somebody else is already broadcasting on your frequency, and they're so granular now that it's like 93.5, 93.6, 93.7, 93. You get the idea, right? These sub-increments of these frequency ranges that there aren't enough people actually broadcasting to use up all of the frequencies anyway. But the government, for whatever reason, wants you to pay their fee, wants you to buy a license
so
that you can, you know, broadcast.
So number one, etiquette, and number two... the cost of overrunning your neighbor's feed, right? Like, if your sole purpose is to put him out of business, you are going to go into debt or whatever doing so, because you're not going to be making any money either. So yeah. It makes no business sense to do that either.
And not to mention a reputation component, right? In the absence of the FCC, there's going to be a reputation component as a broadcaster. So, you know, you want to be a good neighbor to your other broadcasters and maintain your reputation. Yeah. And if you don't, guess what? You're going to lose listeners. You're going to, you know, and your broadcast is going to suffer and go off the air.
I always thought a nice little, like, you know, network for pirate radio. Would have been, you know, whatever the limit below the FCC is, you could run a tower for like a 1 mile range or whatever. Just if everyone networked, you know, like one mile to one mile to one mile, and you all, you know, you all had this mesh network of radio towers, you could broadcast whatever you wanted without the FCC being.
Yeah, except it's
That's kind of what I was asking. What actual like protocol solutions? And that sounds genius, and I don't understand.
That can't happen today because the FCC mandate is far less than 1 mile.
Well, whatever it is,
like 75 feet from your house.
Is it really that small?
Yeah, it's that small.
I'm not surprised.
Because I also toyed around with this idea, and I actually went to there's a page on Free Talk Live. I think it's /radio or something like that, where you can learn the sort of the basics of pirate radio. And my idea was this. For Free Talk Live specifically, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we just created like a USB stick that our amplifier specifically could receive and plug into the back of their computer, their home computer, and it would broadcast on whatever frequency, choose a frequency, underneath the FCC limit. And if you had enough of those, if you had enough saturation, then anybody driving through that neighborhood or even just within a couple of houses of you could pick up that transmission. But it wasn't cost effective to do so. They do make these really great USB, I'll call them sticks, but they're basically small computers that you plug into USB, so it needs some power. You could also put a tiny solar panel on them, because I thought about just saturating an area with pirate radio, putting a bunch of solar-powered drones on tops of buildings.
I guess the difference is, like, your way is signal-funded, like giving stuff out, and I'm just suggesting, a network of people who are passionate about the thing.
Well,
funding their own equipment.
Yeah, I think in a if you want to talk about not only post-government but post-apocalypse scenario, right? When the FCC
doesn't exist.
Everyone's a ham radio operator. License.
Yeah, it'll all just work itself out. People will find cooperative ways, to make it happen. So I don't have any very specific ideas on how radio broadcast might work in the absence of government. What I do have faith in is the market and people finding a cooperative way to make it happen. And it could even be stuff just as simple as like, hey, my target demographic is, really from 5 a.m. until 3 p.m. So if you want to broadcast on my off hours, feel free to share my station or my frequency, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You'd see all sorts of innovation that doesn't exist today because government has such a grip on their, quote, ownership, unquote, of air.
But the profit motive is a big one. Right, people that want to do it and want to make money won't step on their neighbor's feed because that's losing money effort.
You could kill two birds with one stone, because the solution to this is also the solution to the mesh internet.
Could be.
Yeah, well, and in fact, they could cooperate with each other. We know for a fact that something like a cryptocurrency transaction can be broadcast over the air. That is a radio broadcast. And so it would make sense to me, and thanks for the call, Tim. We appreciate you. It would make sense to me for radio broadcast and internet to cooperate with each other regarding broadcasting. So 603-283-6160. How would your industry cope with a lack of government? Give us a call. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. It's back to work this week for the grand jury in New York City that's been hearing evidence against former President Trump brought by special counsel Jack Smith. The panel's been focusing on how Trump handled the classified documents he took to Mar-a-Lago. Following up last month's town hall meeting featuring Trump, CNN will air a similar formatted event tonight in Des Moines with former South Carolina and current presidential candidate Nikki Haley. Authorities in India say they've identified the railroad workers allegedly responsible for Friday's derailment and crash that killed nearly 200 train passengers and injured more than 1,000. The state-run TV network in Poland says about 100,000 showed up for an anti-government protest in Warsaw today, but independent news media say the crowd was more like 500,000. More people in Poland these days fear the government's heading to an autocratic regime similar to Hungary or Turkey. Rich Johnson, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And we're back.
And we're Free Talk Live. And we're on the air 7 nights a week from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Your broadcast may vary. If you miss any part of our show ever, you can just go to freetalklive.com. There is an archives section there going, I don't even know how far back, possibly to the beginning of time, or at least the beginning of Free Talk Live. And you can hear all of the back episodes, catch up or reminisce or whatever it is you want to do.
That's good luck catching up.
At freetalklive.com. There are the digest versions, but even so, good luck. You know, like it's been, what, 20 years or something? So
yeah, somewhere around there. And 21 hours a week.
That's dedication.
You thought getting through all the laws was tough.
Well, that would be tougher.
Yeah.
Before we go on, Free Talk Live listeners, we want to ask you for a favor. You probably already know this show's founder, Ian Freeman, was recently convicted of various victimless crimes. That's right. No one was harmed. Like, the government themselves even admitted that no one was harmed. There was no damage. The judge said something like, the damage is the damage. But, like, there was no damage.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, he's facing up to 20 years in prison for simply transacting voluntarily with people who wanted to transact. We can argue all day as if the jury was mistaken, but that's not going to get us anywhere. What will be helpful is for you to write a letter to the Honorable Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character, how he helps the community, and why you think he deserves a light sentence. Also, saying things about yourself that give your opinion weight with the government would be helpful, such as if you held office or you're a retired military person, you served, anything like that would be something to mention. Ian is a selfless man that has always tried to do what he thinks is the right thing, and it would be a tragedy if he had to spend any time in prison at all. We need these letters quickly, so don't put it off. Please send your letter for Ian Freeman, 63 Emerald Street, number 610, Keene, New Hampshire, 03431. If you didn't get to write that address down, that's okay. All the info you need is available at letters.freetalklive.com, letters.freetalklive.com. Thank you to the folks who have sent letters already. If you haven't sent yours yet, please get on it and send them. We need them. letters.freetalklive.com. All right, moving right along, let's just go to your calls and thoughts. We have an unscreened caller. You're live on the air. What's your name, please?
My name is Brian.
Hey, Brian. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, yeah. I called earlier this week trying to challenge, your libertarian ANCAP principles.
Ooh.
Namely, the NAP. Also want to challenge, things like subjective theory of value, rights. All that stuff is embarrassing you guys, I think.
Bring it, jabroni.
What was that? Sorry.
I said, bring it, jabroni.
Rich is accepting your challenge and ready for you to speak. So go ahead, start with the first one. The NAP,
yeah,
I think.
I was rudely being interrupted and cut off last time by that Bonnie chick. But I got to the point where, I asked your definition of, the non-aggression principle. Someone offered up, the standard definition. Where aggression is illegitimate. All aggression is illegitimate, and aggression is defined as, initiational force or whatever. And I brought up the example of where it doesn't apply to kids. And I got the girl sitting there to admit that she'd use aggression on kids to restrict their, their decision-making.
Well, I said it wasn't aggression.
That wasn't aggression. Well, the other chick, Aria or whatever, she revised the definition because she saw the problem in it. So that's not aggression. When a kid wants to do something against your wishes and you like ground them or stop them from doing it,
the example was a child running out in front of a car and getting injured.
No, that's third party self-defense. You're acting on behalf of the car driver. Next.
That's just one example.
Okay. Next.
I mean, I'm talking, it's a broad decision making restriction, like, drugs, sex, things like that. Even if he's running on the street with a car, what if he wants to commit suicide? Things like this.
Yeah, but a three-year-old doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
That's just basic childhood development.
Okay, so I'll just entertain the three-year-old hypothetical.
Okay.
You agree you'll use aggression against a three-year-old, right?
To me, that's not aggression.
That's not aggression. You guys agree?
I need more specifics on the example.
So first of all, I'm lost on the conversation. I was not here for your original conversation, Brian, so I don't know where this conversation is coming from. Obviously, Nikki was involved.
I will jump in and say, when it comes to suicide in general, I think most people who act to prevent the suicide act selfishly because they don't want the grief of having lost a loved one, right? But I do not fall into that category. So I have once told a friend, if you need someone to pull the trigger for you, like, I'm your guy. I will do that for you because I love you as a friend. Right? So, not aggression. Right?
No, to stop them from doing it.
That's the thing. I wouldn't stop them.
Okay, so let's say you have a kid. I'm not saying you do have a kid, but let's say you have, like, a 13-year-old kid. It's a tough transition, when through puberty and school,
mm-hmm.
and many turn suicidal,
mm-hmm.
like in Asian countries especially.
Yep.
Would you use aggression to stop your kid from committing suicide? It's a temporary thing.
It is a temporary thing.
Most of the time it's a temporary thing, and they might just outgrow it. They might realize the world isn't like
that. They might. So what you would do in that situation, rather than use aggression, right, is use rationing, logic, reason, even an emotional appeal, right, to talk them out of it rather than...
I'm not talking about the people you can convince with that type of tactic, right?
Oh, then I would
stop. I'm talking about where it gets to a point where convincing them through words, you know, you catch them right on the edge of a building, right about to jump. Right?
Yep.
And they don't see you, like, coming up from behind, and you have the ability to snatch them.
Right, so then, that's aggression. It's not, though. So even in that case, right, you are not. It's not aggression because you are acting on behalf of the public or the business owner or the property owner, right? Like there's people below there, you know.
What? Okay,
if you push someone out of the front of a moving bus, right? It's not aggression. You're acting in the defense of the bus driver and the bus company owner.
I don't know where you got, like, where you assumed, like, the property owner. Because
obviously a 13-year-old doesn't know the building, buddy. So he's on someone else's property.
You don't know the property owner's wishes and what he condones or not. But it's not important. You're like trying to avoid the issue here.
No, I'm hitting.
LRN.FM.
Gotta go. No cussing allowed on the radio. Good luck next time. Anyway, finish your point, Richard.
So if in the case of the business owner or the property owner of the building owner, right, you are acting on his behalf in a third party aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can presume that he doesn't want someone killing themselves on or in his building. You can presume he doesn't want the splatter at the bottom of his building that he's going to incur the cost of cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
You can act on those things, right, and then it can be adjudicated outside of that. And if he goes like, oh, no, man, I totally love it when kids jump off a building and splatter in front of my driveway, right, then, according to the non-aggression principle, you are then held responsible for your actions and owe something to the business owner, the property owner, the building owner, right? That gets adjudicated after the fact. And so the non-aggression principle isn't like an absolute,
right?
You can violate the non-aggression principle and then make good on the violation.
Right.
And I think in a lot of libertarian scenarios, right? Oh, if you're crawling through the desert and the guy's like charging $1 million for a bottle of water, you steal the bottle of water, right? And they think it's a gotcha, right? And the truth is, I will violate the non-aggression principle and drink that bottle of water to survive.
So that I can make the person I stole from whole later on.
Later on, right? And or, you know, because it seems to be unjust and there's not a lot of members of the community that it's going to allow for $1 million bottle of water, right? You adjudicate it after the fact.
Yeah.
And you pay him what the community finds to be reasonable through arbitration.
Yeah. A lot of these types of, like, this caller's, what was his name?
Brian.
His call, like, libertarians get into, and, you know, Brian, if you want, like, to really engage with some debates on this topic, come to Porkfest. Because there are plenty of people there that will engage you, particularly on what I like to refer to as fringe cases, right? So the non-aggression principle isn't designed to be the answer, right? It is designed to be a good start.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things, like the non-aggression principle generally covers most things.
Right, but as an axiom, it has to apply throughout.
Right.
Right, and so you come up with these fringe scenarios, and there are ways to think about it that make it apply throughout.
Right.
Right. The kid off the building, the bus, the water, whatever example he had, right? Yes, you were acting aggressively.
Yeah.
Right. You were in violation of the non-aggression principle, and then you make it whole. Right. Yep. You make it right after the fact. Right. So it's not like I will never ever violate the non-aggression principle. It's a recognition that when I violate it, I have amends to make, and I have to make the person whom I violated whole again.
Right.
And I think very few people are claiming that they never have or never will violate the NAP. Like, it's almost impossible to do. But there are ways to make it whole after the fact,
right.
Which I would believe, like, most philosophical libertarians would try to do.
Unlike government, the non-aggression principle and, well, you know, what do you want to call it? Voluntarism, anarchism, libertarianism, allows for redemption, right? Whereas government does not. It's too black and white for that.
Jail.
Yeah.
Right, and if the kid who like wanted to kill themselves, like said, no, I really wanted to kill myself, right? They would have the opportunity to, you know, to take their parents or whatever, to arbitration and see how that works itself out because you violated them, right? It's not. It wasn't the violation. It was, but then here are the repercussions, right? If they're thankful afterwards, thank you for violating the non-aggression principle. Yeah. You saved my life. I was going through a phase. Then no harm, no foul. Nothing is owed, right? But there are people now, right? There's articles of this where they're like suing their parents. Because they didn't consent to being born.
Which is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Because nobody can when you're like a cosmic being. Like what?
Whatever.
You know? Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever
Who
it
knows?
Is. Right, but they think that they were violated in some way and they're going to get their day in court. So same with a kid, a teenager, or whatever. Right, the difficulty with being a child in modern society is you're not self-sufficient. Right, there's a trade-off. And you can be a runaway. Right, you can be a delinquent, you can be, you know, whatever term you want to use, and try to make it on your own, and you should have every right to do that, and your parents shouldn't be able to call the cops to return you as their property, right? There should be, you know, like the Bible for whatever, right? The prodigal son returning, but you should be free to leave if you can manage it on your own or with the help of whomever you're going to reach out to.
Yeah, because the caller did bring up suicide. I want to say that I have experience as what's known as a student counselor, counseling kids who, you know, just need somebody to talk to. Oftentimes, suicide was brought up. And I can tell you for a fact that if somebody is committed to committing suicide, you are not going to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You could try. You might stop them once. But if they're committed to it, they're going to do it. They're going to take their own life. That being said... yes, most people come out of it. If you're having suicidal thoughts and that kind of a thing, please find somebody to talk to. You know, even if you're convinced that that's what you want to do, please find somebody to talk to and then, you know, make your decision from there. Don't make your decision until you've talked to somebody who, you know, maybe they're outside of your family, maybe they're a professional, whatever it is. Just talk to somebody about how you're feeling. Give yourself some time. If you're still committed to it, then you're going to do what you're going to do. But please talk to somebody first.
And suicide is difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You have to overcome the natural human inclination for self-preservation to such a degree.
Yeah.
Right, that you kill yourself.
Yeah.
Not by accident.
And there are people who have tried and failed who regret trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the guy that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived, which very few people survived
Yeah.
He said as he was falling, instant regret.
Yeah.
Because that, like, natural mechanism of yourself for the self-preservation kicks in and you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? This goes against everything my, like... basic nature and biology is telling me to do. So.
Get that sting in your stomach when you start to slide in the snow, too.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yep.
I just want to elaborate a bit on the student counseling thing. Because I was one of the students, I was able to hear things without having to take any action from students.
Right. You weren't a mandated reporter, is what you're saying?
Right. Okay. Because everyone employed by, we'll call it the school, or the government or what have you, if a student says something like, hey, I'm feeling suicidal, they are required to report that to both the parents and the government. And whereas a student is not required to do any such thing. So there's literally more freedom in talking to a peer in a student situation than talking to an employee. And so that's why that those things existed, why I agreed to become a student counselor. At the time was because I was like, you mean to tell me they can't freely talk to you guys about what they're feeling as a teenager when they're going through all this, you know, puberty and weird upheaval and like emotions and, you know, figuring out that like, you know, they're trying to be independent, but their parents are still holding them back and, you know, what the school's doing and all this kind of crap. Like, it just seems obscene to me that children are not allowed to freely speak to adults without the mandatory reporting requirement.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think mandated reporter. I think that thing for like nurses and teachers is so stupid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can get people, you know, if they come in heated and they're trying to talk to you and they say the wrong thing. And, you know, like me as a nurse.
Yeah.
I know when people either mean it or don't mean it. Yeah, I shouldn't make assumptions. But sometimes it's obvious, like, this person's either just pissed off or they're intoxicated or whatever it is. I don't think, like, I'm using my own professional judgment.
Yeah.
I don't think they're at a risk to themselves. So if I don't report that, then it puts me in hot water.
Yeah, your career is on the line.
But it's like, I'm not going to rat them out for no reason. You know what I mean? So it puts us in a, as like professionals, in a really bad position. Obviously, you know, just if there's suspected child abuse or something like that, like, yes, you should do something, but I don't know.
And as soon as you report it, though, like, all trust is lost. Like, you get one
shot. Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to tell you anything again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
I told you something in confidence. You reported it to some a-hole down
and
the street.
Also, it's tough for me because I don't believe in getting CPS involved or calling the cops.
Right.
So it's like, really, no matter what the situation is,
yeah,
I'm not saying.
Let's go on to your calls and thoughts. We have David Butt in New Mexico. David Butt, you're on Free Talk Live.
Dude, I transitioned to somebody else. I'm major pain in the butt.
Oh, well.
Oh, did he just dead name you? Sorry.
Well, sorry.
You dead name me, man.
The caller ID came up as David Butt.
We'll get right on that to fix that.
With two T's, by the way. Not like David, however.
Not David Butt.
Get under my skin, man.
Hey, you know, I did hear that you were going to trade your butt in for a new one. Something about yours has a crack in it?
It does, man. Really big, fat one. And,
what's on your mind, Major? What is it?
Pain in the butt.
Pain in the butt?
Dead names me just to make my butt hurt.
Are you butt hurt now, David?
I'm butt hurt, and it's not David Butt. It's Major Pain in the Butt.
Major Pain in the Butt. Not the butt, the butt.
But D-A.
D-A or D-U-H?
You can just call me in the butt. So I called about the killdozer thing, but I'd like to add that you brought up a memory for me. People regretting suicide. I met a kid who regretted attempting suicide, or I guess you don't regret suicide. Well, you could, I guess. Who knows?
You regret a failed suicide. That happens.
Yeah. And when I was working in the hospital at the teaching hospital, University of Minnesota, years ago, to try to decide if I wanted to go to medical school, and I decided, hell no. One of the things I did is worked as a sitter for different cases. And one of the things that requires a sitter is somebody who had attempted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid had come in, and he had put a shotgun in his mouth, and he pulled the trigger, and he had the angle wrong. And
yep.
So now he just, all he did was blow out the front of his upper jaw, and he looked like the cowardly lion because he blew a groove right up through the middle of his face, and so he was missing that part.
Yeah,
he took out half of
his lower face or something, right?
And that almost seems like the natural human inclination towards survival, right?
Yeah.
Like you got the angle wrong, you know, in your mouth so that you missed all the critical spots. At the very end, you tipped the shotgun a little bit unconsciously.
I remember having that thought. I didn't ask him about it, but I remember having that exact thought. But anyway, the killdozer thing, subsequent to talking about that, I think it was Bad Slave called in and said we need more of that type of thing. And I agree with that.
Are you building one?
Yeah, as a matter of fact. I've been working on one for quite a few years.
I'm headed
towards Keene, New Hampshire.
That's a long drive.
Yeah, it's gonna. The thing only gets 5 miles or 5 gallons to the mile.
If
so,
that.
Are you gonna start a GoFundMe for gas money?
I think he should.
Yeah, maybe people, your listeners, can send in funds so that I can drive up to Keene. You know, it's 5 gallons a mile. It's probably about 1,500 miles. And then I can come and visit and do a better job than what the FBI, they didn't do very good. They just got a few windows and a door, did they?
Wait, you threatened to, like,
so
those
anyway,
this place?
Yeah, why would you threaten to those this
joke.
Place? We put you on the radio
it's
for F6.
It's a joke.
He's trying to crowdfund on the radio that he's trying to destroy.
He's going to build a killdozer, drive it to Keene, New Hampshire, and then destroy the studio.
Yeah, unless you want to buy me like a C5, they can maybe donate and I can get a C5 Galaxy. I can load the killdozer in the C5 Galaxy.
I don't really have any idea of what your popularity or, you know, your fundability quotient would be with the listeners of Free Talk Live.
Just show them the Speedo.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter because this is all in just fun. So it doesn't really matter if anybody sends anything or not. Yeah. It's all fantasy. So back to the serious part. So bad slave called in with, he said that that kind of thing needs to happen more often, and I agree. However, stuff like that tends to be illegal, and so you can't necessarily advocate for it, at least I don't. But here's something that's really cool, that's similar, that does actually takes a psychic toll and probably a practical toll as well. And one of the things I do as often as possible when I'm talking, like right now, when people will hear it, but even when I'm just talking one-on-one to anybody, especially if they happen to get a government paycheck, and even better if they're actually elected into their position, I tell them, I plant this seed. I tell them that, hey, guess what? Based on all of the evidence available, you are illegal. The government is completely illegal and illegitimate and null and void. And I'm spreading the word, and everybody else needs to as well, because you got to go, because we can't have an illegal government. Oh, did you have a pension? Did you say you had a pension? Guess what? That's going to go bye-bye. So you better jump on board and help us make you stop being illegal if you want to continue to get that paycheck and that pension.
Except they still got the beard gang, and there's not enough killdozers out there to fight them, right?
No, but the reality is, though, that if you keep spreading that, people hear that and they go, you know, I never thought of that, but you're right. And if you get several millions, or even better, several tens of millions of people with that attitude, you can actually make these, this is FCC legal, sons of bitches go.
Maybe. And here's why maybe, right? Because I have heard prominent libertarians who have held government jobs espouse the idea that, well, I'm only 5 years from my pension, so I'm going to stay in government for another 5 years, and then imagine how much good I could do within the libertarian community with all that government pension money. Right, they're not, you know, they don't come to the realization and cut it off, right? They come to the realization and go like, well, the government money's still good, so I'm going to keep that as long as I can, and then we'll see what happens later.
You mean Mexico judge John J. Romero Jr. Mm-hmm. and M. Monica Zamora. You mean like those people, right?
Exactly. So.
All right. Hey, David, thanks for the call.
Hey, you got the names out.
Yeah.
Man. What's the fun, Captain?
He was doing so well up until the repetitive crap. Right? 603-283.
Had no relevance to the rest of the call. I just wanted to say the names.
6160. That's 603-283-6160. Still to come, more stories, including tuberculosis and the police. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.